are so glad that you are listening to the Mission Point Community Church podcast. It's our prayer that this helps you grow in your relationship with Jesus and encourages you to show and share the love of Jesus everywhere you go. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's dive into the message.
Hey, it's great to be with you. My name is Scott. I get to be the interim teaching pastor here. Who are you?
Well, I already introduced myself, but I'm Kirsten. I'm the mission coordinator.
Yes, I just wanted to get that on the record, like that's who you are. Hey, it is great to be with you this morning. If you've never been to Mission Point, welcome. Here's what I love about this week. If you've never been here, this is the week that you find out, like, oh, this is what this church is about. Like, this is one of the things that, like, it's like God, Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit, and then, like, this is what we do. I was privileged. We've been in this community for a number of years, and I was on staff at another church here in this community. And I'll let you peek behind the curtain a little bit. This is what we would say, like behind closed doors at this other church. We would hear, oh, Mission Point is doing this, and Mission Point is doing this. And we would sometimes sit back and go, what? Like, this is who they are. This is what they do. And then we would stand back and we would cheer because of what this church does with what we're talking about today. And I'm not talking in code, but when we talk about orphans and vulnerable children and doing things that people typically don't do, we would sit back and go, that's awesome. That's awesome. And we would cheer on from a distance, and it would inspire us in our meetings. Like, okay, they're doing that. How can we either support that or come alongside? And so it was cool to kind of then sit here a couple years ago when our family landed here to worship here, and we're like, oh, wow, now we get to be a part of that. If you are new here, you're joining us. We just landed this series last week. It was like 6 or 7 weeks. And okay, boo, I know. It was several weeks where we talked about, we're talking about our stories. We're talking about how God's story, like God rescues us and connects us in our story to his story. And then we have to, you know, everywhere we live, learn, work, and play, learn other people's story and figure out how to connect their story to God's story. It's like, yeah, we talked about that, but how do we practice that? Like, what do we do with that? It's like kind of a so what moment. And who do we do that with? Certainly it's everyone we live, learn, work, and play with. But today we're going to dive into God's word, and we're talking about orphan and vulnerable children. So let me ask you, and I asked you this question a couple weeks ago when we were talking about this. I was like, Kirsten, define for me, like orphan, define for me vulnerable, because it's not just as easy as, well, orphan, they don't have parents. There you go, it's an orphan. Vulnerable, we see that throughout God's word, orphan, vulnerable. Give us the working definition that we kind of use around here.
Yeah, I think there are a couple of things we think about. I think one would be we would consider how God, you know, created everything perfectly, including the family unit.
Yep.
And so whenever that family unit is broken in one way, whether it's, you know, one parent who is missing or two that might be lost or, you know, have reasons why they're not able to parent their child. But also we think of protection and provision. You know, who are not currently guaranteed full protection or full provision for their everyday needs. Honestly, right now, I would feel, and we've been talking about this, I would acknowledge that, you know, there's a lot of conversation around SNAP. If you're not familiar with that word, it would be similar. It is the same thing as food stamps, where there are many families, close to 2,000 in households in our county right now, who are waiting to see, will we have that provision? And so I think about even my own family. I remember there was a time when my mom was sick with cancer. She was a single mom. We had food stamp. I remember her sitting, I don't know if you guys remember this, at her checkbook. I have not touched a checkbook maybe ever in my life, but she would be planning for all of, we had our food stamps, and then she was just planning for all the other things. And I was just thinking, many of these families, veterans, senior citizens, who are just trying to think through how are we going to reallocate some of our funds. And so that right now, you know, vulnerable can change also based on where, sure, you live in the across the globe. What's happening right now? That's one of the things I've been feeling a little bit.
Okay, so here's the danger. When we describe orphan and vulnerable in that way, the danger is for us, we can go, oh, well, that's not me. That's not my experience. I didn't have that experience growing up. So it's hard to connect with that. So we have to kind of broaden and understand this idea of vulnerable or orphaned or experiencing brokenness. And here's where I'm going to go. I'm just going to lead us first with this. We're going to lead with God's word. John 3:16, right? It's the end zone verse that you see people write it on their, you know, face, tattoos. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Why? Why did he do that? Why would God do that? Here's why. Because we universally, we were vulnerable. All of us. There was something we could not do for ourselves. We cannot pay for the sins that we have committed on our own. We've broken God's laws. We've broken God's heart. And we cannot fix it. So we were vulnerable, are vulnerable. If we've not asked Christ into our lives, we are vulnerable. We can't solve that broken relationship. So what did he do? He sent his son Jesus, gave his life for us. So let's not disconnect this idea of vulnerability. Well, that's not me. That's not my experience. That's not my story. I grew up, you know, my parents are still together, grew up in privilege. Food stamps, I've heard about them, never seen them. Is it actually a stamp? What is it? Like, I don't know. That could be your experience. However, all of us have been vulnerable, broken, and God sent his son Jesus for us. So let's draw that line right there. The second thing that I'm going to say, and you brought up snaps, so let's just talk about it. People can debate, well, they got there and they made choices, da, da, da. You can debate that all you want. That's not a conversation we're having today in here. I'll go out. I'm going to suggest also, I don't think Facebook is the place for that. I don't know if you can amen it. That's just me. Mm. That's not a pastoral statement. That's a Scott statement. I don't know that social media is a place for that conversation either. All right, back to the conversation, the Jesus part. Here's the thing. We're not having that conversation. Here's where we're going to land. I can't drop this thing twice.
Got it.
We're going to land where God wants us to be, which is him calling us to do something regardless of what our neighbor says or their skin color or what the government does or doesn't do. This is filled with a mandate that's a much higher authority regardless of what country we live in. So here's what we do. We read his word and says we were all vulnerable and he stepped in regardless of who we were. And we do something. Everyone can do
something.
Something. I sat here a couple years ago. Our family had landed here, and we sat right over here in the section where you guys are, right? We sat over there, and I remember you or someone, I don't even remember who it was, stood up and said, we're going to do this series called It Counts, and we're talking about orphan and vulnerable children. I was like, oh, crap, here we go.
He had some regrets.
I had some regrets because I was like, am I doing enough, and am I going to walk out just feeling like garbage because, like, okay, I'm not really doing anything. And so the challenge was to sit here, and you guys just started naming things like, you know, what about this and what about this? And if you're doing this, it counts. And what are you doing that counts to step into that space? Because, like, we have four kids, bio kids of our own, and I was like, is this end with I've got to adopt six more kids? Like, is that how this goes? And what you did is you painted a picture, and it was so awesome because I sat there, and recently somebody had invited me to be on the board of CASA, and so court-appointed special advocates, and I was like, oh, well, I'm on the board. Wait, you gave me permission to say
it counts.
It counts, mm-hmm. Right? And I don't remember the specific time frame, but sometime within that month, because I get to teach here at the school a couple classes, I had to call DCS because a kid had disclosed something in class about what was going on in their home and like some bad stuff that was happening to them. And I had to call DCS and I was like, oh, and I was like, wait, I'm a school teacher and I stand in the hallway and talk to kids and kind of debrief life and give them, like, okay, wait, that counts too. And I got to write that down. But here's what's crazy. So I'm doing that. My wife is doing that on her own. And our kids are kind of sorting through their list. What are they doing? A summer camp counselor and serving MP kids. And my wife, you know, was helping with another ministry here in town, New Mercies, and getting that started and Safe Families and some other stuff. And it was like, oh, we start realizing, wait, we are serving. And yet then God was calling us to do more. Hmm. He was leading us and leaning into us to say, okay, there's your start. So what are you doing? Like, yes, that counts. So, but keep going. Don't stop. And here's why. Because the numbers are big. They're not little. Mm-hmm. The numbers are giant. Let me give you some numbers. Here's some. 2.1 billion people on the planet don't have access to clean drinking water. Are they vulnerable? Yeah. If you can't get clean water, you're vulnerable. Vulnerable to disease. You're walking a couple miles to go get the water. You're vulnerable to attack. Women are usually the ones going to do that early in the morning, late at night. Use your imagination what happens to women early in the morning, late at night, where they're out in the middle of nowhere getting clean water, right? Orphan, vulnerable. So our church, like how many wells? I don't even know. Like I've not been here long enough to know.
We have done several life pumps. And even in this last month, we were, because some of you are giving monthly to Design Outreach, we've actually been able to help complete the funding of 2 life pumps that are now going to be put into Zambia.
Just in the last, like in the last little bit, short period of time. So like this church has stepped in and said, yeah, we want to do that. So it's awesome. Like, woohoo, that's great. But then 2.1 billion. We're putting in a couple of life pumps, like several. Like, okay, we're chipping away at it. But then wrap your brain around this for just a second. Globally, around the world, I'm going to look to make sure I get this right. 140 million kids who are orphaned. They're without either one parent or both. 140 million. Now, we hear numbers all the time, and right, I think in this country, we spent like $30 billion on Halloween candy.
Yikes, I didn't know that.
Woo-hoo. I may have just made that up, but it's big.
We'll fact check it later.
Somebody fact check that by the end of the service so we can know. But it's giant what people spend at Halloween stores, right? It's crazy. The number that's not made up is 140 million kids globally. So to figure out what that is, here's the number. Here's how we can scale that. 140 million people. That is the combined population of Indiana, California, Texas, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. The combined population. Indiana, California, Texas, Pennsylvania, Florida, Illinois. Oh, and Pennsylvania. I forgot that one. So, if, to put it differently, let me give you a different number, okay? You're going to go home and you're going to watch football today. You're going to turn on football, you know, go Bills, you know, playing the Chiefs tonight, right? Like, you're going to watch that. The average football stadium in America holds 70,000 people. You would need 2,000 football stadiums to get to that number. That's how many kids around the world or at least down one parent, many of them both. We're not going to solve that today here at Mission Point, but we are going to step in and say, what's our part? Because there's local numbers too, right?
Yeah, there's 105 kids currently in foster care in Kosciuszko County. The numbers that are hard to determine exactly would be that there are many of them, especially the older the child gets, that they are placed across the state of Indiana. So in order, they're not in their same community with their same supports. It's not as easy to see their biological parent. So we know that that's a big number as well. We look across the board. We've shared this before, but in our county, when it comes to schools and families applying for free or reduced lunch, those numbers are over 50% at some schools. They push closer to 70% and they continue to rise. And then there's anecdotal pieces of, you know, teachers who have told me, yeah, my kids will come in and make comments about, I haven't had food since, and it was more than 24 hours. So we know that food is not always a thing that is for sure in front of every child in our community.
And what's the number DCS last month calls?
Was it 300?
It was 300.
Yes, 300 calls that were made, whether by someone as a first responder or someone in the school, a bus driver who had an issue, just saying, like, you need to investigate this a little bit more. So 300 phone calls. Like, we don't know if that was, like, all different families or not, but that's significant.
That's in a month. That's in a month. 300 phone calls to DCS in a month of an adult, a concerned person in this community saying there's something up with this kid. Some of those would be the same case. Others of those are like brand new. So this is not just a global thing. This is like, this is here. This is in our neighborhood. There's a similar thing happening in the New Testament church. And Paul is this guy, we looked at a little bit of him last week. He is an apostle. Apostle, fancy word for one who was sent. He was sent all over this geography. And he's writing this letter to the church of Ephesus. And here's what he says to them. This is prayer for the church of Ephesus. And here's what he says. I pray that from God's glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Holy Spirit. So Paul's saying, like, I'm praying for you that the Holy Spirit will fill you up. As a believer, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says this, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. That's why when we tell little kids, you want to invite Jesus into your hearts. Paul's saying, I pray that you would make a decision to follow Jesus, be indwelled with his Holy Spirit, that God would live in you. That's the three stories, that your story would be changed so God lives in you. That your roots would grow down into God's love and keep you strong. That's why we come here every single week, to learn, to grow. It's why we open up God's word in between Sundays so we can grow. So his word takes root in us. So he's given us this basic theology kind of salvation to then growing. And then, verse 18, that you would have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And Paul's setting us up. He's saying, I want you to experience Christ, and then I want you to understand how big his love is, how significant it is. Why? May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand it fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and the power that comes from God. He's saying that your completeness comes, and that there's a fancy Greek word in there, that you would be made complete with all the fullness. That little phrase there, it's this fancy word that means that once you understand it and you embrace it, that you don't just have God living in you. That word fullness is this picture of a vessel overflowing. And Paul's saying, I pray that you wouldn't just get it and understand it and go, oh, that's great, and come to church and go, oh, on occasion I'll raise my hand, you know, and I'll do something, that it's overflowing in us, and that it leaks out and it serves others and it does something for other people. That was Paul's prayer for the church in Ephesus. And I believe that it wasn't just for Ephesus. I believe it's for all of us, that it flows out of us, that it's something that we do. We don't just hold on to, that we show and share it everywhere we go. And this church put a stake in the ground years ago. I don't know what year that happened. I wasn't here for that. I don't know what year that happened. But there was a stake in the ground that says, this is how. One of the ways Mission Point will do that, we will care for the orphan and vulnerable children. And I will tell you, as somebody who served in another church, this church has been leading the way in this community for that. And it's beautiful to see. And we can't turn it off. Mm-hmm. So it's not the only place that we see it in here. We see it elsewhere.
Yeah, I think we can't. The more we know and experience different pieces of God's character, and we see it for what it is, you know, we are filled up by it, and we seek to demonstrate it. It's just, it's really wonderful. And I think that's one of the things that we see. I'm going to actually look into the Psalms. Is that me or you?
Nope, it's me.
Okay. We're going to look into the Psalms. Poor Scott, as we've been planning for this, every time we talk, I'm like, have you read Psalm so-and-so lately? Have you read this Psalm? I'm just like, I feel like I've read the Psalms several times. I'm like, does it get deleted after I read it? Because I am like reading it for the first time and just wowed by, this is our God, especially as it relates to the God who is stepping in and caring for the vulnerable. So in this situation, maybe it is me. So in Psalm 10, the psalmist is surrounded by a variety of social injustices. He's seeing firsthand with his own eyes that sin is impacting relationships, systems of support, how humans are interacting with one another, some of those natural things. And so he starts in verse 1 and he says, why, Lord, why do you stand far off? Why do you hide yourself in trouble? He proceeds then to list all of the wicked he is seeing, the injustice. He's expressing his concern for the needy. He's like, I'm seeing them. There are people who are helpless. In my own version, if we have our own versions, it's like, hello, God, are you seeing this? Like, I'm seeing it. Are you seeing it? And we see this so many times in the Psalms, especially when David is the one who is, you know, writing these poems or the songs. And he is just basically at the beginning, like, where are you? Do you even care? You know, he's being a little bit more mouthy maybe with God than we might think. And he takes a minute and he finally calms down. It feels like he takes a deep breath. And then he makes a statement declaring, oh, wait a second. This is the God that you are. This is the God that you have been. And so we see that further as we read into Psalms 10:14. But you, God, see the trouble of the afflicted. You consider their grief and you take it in hand. Victims commit themselves to you. You are the helper of the fatherless. David circles back and he is saying, but you, God, you see the trouble. I feel like I'm the one who is seeing this, but you ultimately see it from the vantage point in heaven. When we can read in Psalm 68, 5 and 6, a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows, is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing, but the rebellious live in a sun-scorched land. Man, I can't highlight this enough. God in his holy dwelling. Like God from the vantage point of heaven where he sits with all authority, the ability to do any action, he is there watching, and not just with a sense of bringing justice, but also with extreme kindness and compassion. Like that is the God that we serve. Like we were once viewed by that God saying, oh man, they are in need of some major help. His eyes are on the vulnerable. We don't have to draw his attention to it.
I'm on this one. Yeah. And here's what's crazy. The Psalms were intended to be like the playlist that people memorize. Because remember, they couldn't read. There were very few of them that could read. They had to have other people read to them. So what would they do? They would memorize these Psalms and these poems, and this became their playlist. And the song that shows up on their playlist over and over and over is, you're a God to the fatherless. You're a God who cares for those who are in jeopardy. You are a God who cares for those who are in need. That's the song on their playlist over and over and over that they're memorizing. It is throughout the Psalms. And those folks memorize those. We have the entire canon of Scripture now available to us because we can read. Praise God, we're in a country, we have access, we can read it. But this is what they had. And so what did they do? They kept churning this over and over and over and over in their brains all the time. And it became the fabric of the early church. Similar to, I believe, what happened somewhere in Mission Point's history, it became a part of the fabric of this church and who we are.
Yeah. I think about the God described in those verses and just think about, you know, for us, it can be really hard to watch something painful. I mean, sometimes I'll be watching a movie and like, I know that I'm about to be very sad. And so I'm like covering my face or I put the pillow in front. I'm not in the mood to be sad or to see that. A couple weeks ago, I was driving to Indianapolis with some friends and there was a huge accident. I've never seen anything like that. You know, and there were several people in the car who just wanted, you know, were counting and looking at all this. And I'm like, I would rather not look. You know, like, I don't know that we naturally love to see hard and painful things. But to know that, like, we, you know, and our design as humans are to reflect God's image. And we see here that he looked straight on to the hardship. He didn't say, I'll pass on this one, or I can't look knowing that like these kids, they're not having a meal or their meals aren't great, whatever it might be. It's like, no, I'm going to stay attentive. And that part of me, just like if I sit for a long time, it can bring me just to a state of like being emotional about it, I guess.
So let me throw this out, because there's, you know, an accident happens. There's brokenness that takes place. There is the victim, the people who are in that. There are the people that drive by, and those are the onlookers. They're like, oh, I just happen to be in proximity, and I'm looking. And then there are those who show up who respond, those first responders. They're there because they're paid to be there, right? They have a responsibility to be there. They clocked into their shift, and it is important that when the call comes in that they go. Why do they do that? There is an expectation as a part of their responsibility as a first responder that they go and they do that. Hello, we are the first responders. Mm-hmm. We have been given a responsibility. Psalm 10, the psalmist leads with, God, do you not see this? Like, aren't you going to do something? And he's saying, where are you? You seem to be not present, but who is there? The psalmist is going, I'm right here. Are you not seeing this? And God's like, you're right there? Yeah, I'm right here. You're right there. Uh-huh, I'm right here. Yeah.
You're the first responder.
Why don't you respond? Mm-hmm. Why don't you do something? And then the psalmist later gets it. He's like, oh, you do see what's going on, and you put me right. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'll go do that.
Which just makes it clear, you know, when we think about, you know, we're inviting you to take a step into this. Many of you are already stepping into it in some way. We have access to God who knows the best places, right? He's already looking at these things. So like, Lord, where is it that I need to respond to? And he can speak into that.
So let's keep moving, because there's this verse, and we've talked about it here. I've heard it read from up here. It kind of serves as an anchor verse mm-hmm. for this New Testament picture of all of us doing our part. It really is an anchor verse, James 1:27.
Yeah, I was at a conference a couple weeks ago, Christian Alliance for Orphans, where church leaders, organizational leaders gather. And I'm telling you, everyone sure said James 1:27. It was everywhere. But this is what it reads. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows and their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you.
All right, I'm going to have you read it again, because sure. if this is an anchor verse, it's one that we all need to understand. If you're going to cut Mission Point open and find this, mm-hmm. let this soak in.
Mm-hmm. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you.
So we could tear this apart, and we could do an exegetical exercise on every word in this. And for some of you that would geek out on Bible trivia and Greek words, we could do that. Sorry. I'm going to give you something that I believe is more significant and more powerful. James 1:27. How has that impacted you, Kirsten? How did someone living out James 1:27 touch you?
Yeah. I think that is the believers that grasp onto this verse and live out their faith is the reason that I know Jesus now, and then I am ready to advocate on behalf of other vulnerable people. I've shared this before at different times, but there was different vulnerabilities that I had growing up. And I know there are some of you who have experienced maybe pieces of this. Divorced. My parents were divorced at a very young age. I'm the oldest of three daughters. I think oldest is also already like, it's a really tough spot to be in, just saying. But had divorce. My dad was an alcoholic, had always been an alcoholic through my life. Moved in primarily with my mom. She was diagnosed with lung cancer, and about 3 months later passed away. We then moved in with my dad, who, man, I think about it often and weep for him that he was raising three girls in their teenage years. That was interesting. Still fighting with his alcoholism, and he passed away suddenly when I was a junior in high school. And I look back and think about all the ways in which there were people rallying in my community, where it felt like they had done this very thing. Like, Lord, we see this hardship with the Criswell girls. I know you see it, God. What could we do? And some of the things that I felt like he asked them to do were, there was a variation of like small and big things that all really mattered. You know, whether it was, even when my dad was alive, the whole town, it was a small town, they all knew he was an alcoholic. I was offered a ride everywhere all the time, whether that was to a basketball game or to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. I wasn't even an athlete, but I was invited. To youth group, like rides. There was a family that would have me over for special meals, like to celebrate my birthday or maybe the end of a semester. There was a family who would invite me over because they knew that I, Kirsten Nicole Criswell, am a procrastinator. So I would start school projects without a poster board and without a way to print anything. So they would invite me over and help me until 11 p.m., midnight, to work on that poster. There were other people who within our church who just heard about the circumstances at our family and asked the church leaders, I used to be an English teacher and I miss teaching, you know. Could I take one of the girls out to buy her prom dress? I think they go their junior year. I met this random lady. She took me to go and buy a prom dress and make me feel really special and get that prepared.
Are you suggesting that those things counted? Are you suggesting that somebody taking you to go shopping for a prom dress, that counts?
It changed my life. I mean, it truly changed my life to have those people who were stepping in and for the common thread to be that they love Jesus. They had no other reason, I feel like, to love me. I was just a rando, you know, like, but they loved Jesus and wanted me to know him. And so they like included me in all of those things. I can't tell you how many really good meals I have. Our family was a taco, pizza, spaghetti family on rotation. I was like, this is a vegetable that I actually like. You know, there was a family that brought me over, bringing me on vacations. It was like that I was thought of, like to be included in some of those things.
And the end result, and I loved how you said it, you snuck it in there like it was a small part of the story, and it was a huge part of the story. You said, I wouldn't have a relationship with Jesus if it wasn't for these families that did. All they did was they did their part along the way, and they did something that counted. This counted. This. How many of them adopted you?
Zero. None. Yeah.
Now, adoption is a thing, and I think if as our hearts are moved towards that, we should step into that. But it's not the only thing. There's so many other things that count along the way that we have to do, that we have to understand, that we have to embrace and be able to do our part. And everyone can do
something.
Everyone can do something. I'm not going to talk about the early church and that kind of stuff that we had talked about. There's no time because you need to hear some of these other stories. So, London, would you come in?
When we say everyone can do something, everyone. We are truly talking about any age. Where are you at, London?
Where's she at? Did she leave? She actually, after the first service, she was like, oh, I have to do this twice? She didn't know she was doing this twice. 12 years old. Welcome her up here.
So, London, I hear you had a pretty awesome job, or not job, you didn't have a job this summer. Summer, you just had an awesome summer. What was one of the main things that you did?
I sold popsicles with my friends this summer.
Like 5 popsicles, a lot of popsicles?
A lot of popsicles.
A lot of popsicles. All right, so did you like get to buy a new car for your family, or what did you do with those funds?
Well, we kept a little bit of the funds, but a lot of the funds, we decided that we would donate them to Agatas.
Donated them to Agatas. And I hear there was even a match involved. Someone's grandma, one of your friends' grandma said, we'll match what you bring in. Is that right?
Yeah.
So what was the total that you brought in?
$500.
$500. Isn't that awesome? Her siblings, some of her neighborhood friends, they just went wild with selling popsicles. I think there was lemonade one of those times. Agatas is one of our mission partners. They seek to provide free sports as a sports ministry to tell people about Jesus. Why did you choose Agatas?
Because my friends and I, we really enjoy all of their camps.
Yeah. And everyone at the camp, you were saying?
Everybody at the camp gets to learn about Jesus and they get to play a fun sport.
Exactly. And that matters. And it counts that you did that. Thank you so much, London. Thank you so much. So I love hearing that story, and I love that it's not just a matter of, like, London herself benefited from Agatas, and then in turn wanted to contribute in some way, and just love, I mean, they have a fun neighborhood anyway, but the amount of friends that even wanted to be on stage while she told the story, I was like, okay, London, I'm sorry, I'm going to choose you. It was just really encouraging to hear what she's doing. So we have a few more stories that we want to share, and these two represent organizations that are listed within that packet that I gave you. But Kirsten, I would love for you to share with us. You have been serving with CASA. What is CASA? What is it that you exactly do?
A CASA is a court-appointed special advocate. So I am a trained volunteer appointed by a judge to represent a child who has been abused or neglected at a court hearing. And I'm there to just express their best interests. So I do that by just building a relationship with them. I might be involved in their school happenings, school meetings, learning about who they're friends with, their interests, their hobbies, their strengths. And we also talk about concerns or questions they might have about the case, and their desires for their family.
Yeah, the CASA role can be a fun role where usually it's like you learn that one of your kids likes dinosaurs. You're going to always show up with dinosaur stickers. And I've reached out to Kirsten several times in the last couple of years to say, hey, would you be willing to serve in this way or do this thing? And she's like, I'm really invested in my CASA case. So we have several kids and she's just fighting and praying for them. And it's been a huge way in which you've shown the love of Jesus. I imagine that has impacted your faith in some way. Could you share more about that with us?
Yes, it's significantly impacted me. It's such a privilege just to be serving vulnerable families and seeing God's redemptive work through systems and people that serve the families in Kosciuszko County.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for doing that. Lucas and his wife, Brooke, have been a part of something that we have called Care Communities. It's wraparound structured support, whether it's to a foster family, a guardianship family, or even just a primary family who's just saying we could use some extra help in order to be sustainable. So what was your guys' role and why did you decide to say yes to that?
Yeah, we were talking like, I think it was 3 years ago that we stepped into a care community. I stepped into as a mentor. And so what that was is just partnering with one of the kiddos, taking him to basketball practice, taking him to school, just hanging out with him at the library after school. And just investing in his life and spending some quality time with him. My wife, Brooke, did the more important job of like helping the family cook, clean. She prayed for them, just the behind-the-scenes stuff that, and the care community does.
In the last several months, you and Brooke have been stirred, and you've been praying, knowing that you felt like God was going to have you step into something. What has he since then revealed to you, and what has happened from that?
Yeah, so... So I've been involved in this kid's life for the last few years. And tragically, a few months ago, his guardian passed away. And so we got the call from DCS to step into his life as a foster parents. And so we knew in that moment that I'm not going to get emotional, second service. The Lord revealed to us that we had to step into that. And so my wife and I and our son, we stepped into that and became foster parents.
It's a big deal. And when you think about that family, yes. Like all these yeses matter. It started out with the meal. It started out with different things. And what you don't know is like there wasn't just Lucas and his wife that said yes. There was another family in our church who said yes to fostering them. And then the other two kinship relationships that they had that said yes, we as a church through Care Portal, the technology that sends out like, hey, we could use this. We were able to shower them with things that they needed to get that set up well. It was truly a pretty big thing. And again, I imagine that impacted your faith. Anything that you've kind of discovered in stepping into this, Lucas?
Yeah, it's those small yeses. Where we said yes 3 years ago, people are saying yes in our lives now. We have a college student that takes our kid to school on Mondays, you know, late start day, that's rough. And so we have a college student that steps up and does that. We have people giving us meals. It's just the small yeses that account to something really, really powerful that only God can do. And it's just amazing to see how God works in that. And I think that's the gospel, right, is that in those small things, God reveals himself.
Absolutely. We are going to very quickly, rapid fire, tell you some other really quick stories of things happening in the life of Mission Point. And Lucas and Kirsten are going to help me with this. So there's a story, like a high schooler who said, I know how to speak Spanish. I would love to come to the camps this summer in case a family needs translation. And I saw this teenager show up. I don't know that he had to use his Spanish, but I was thinking the other day and I had chills thinking about it of how he was having to interact with one of the kiddos who was just trying to climb into his dad's car. And this teenager showed up with kindness, used his name, just like brought peace to him. It was awesome to see.
Yeah, and there's multiple people in the church. They said, like, we're getting rid of a bed, a dresser, a pack and play, a car. Do you guys know what to do with those things? And Kirsten in the church was like, yes, give them to us. We'll pass them on. I got another story real quick. I want to support the appreciation meals that we do for DCS, but my schedule just doesn't work. What if I offer to buy all the paper products for the whole entire month?
Someone said, I have access to a trailer to move things. Let me know if you ever need something. That poor volunteer. That's a new favorite on my iPhone now.
This summer, our church family launched 3 foster kids into forever homes. These kids were ingrained in the church body, discipled by Mission Point kids volunteers, and prayed over by care communities as they went into their homes.
There's a story I love telling about a nurse in our church who, there was a care portal need that came up about a medically fragile child and a mom who had to like quit her job to care for this child and was not able to make ends meet. So this nurse contacted the family and through the help of her platforms on like using social media or just being willing to make a phone call because I do not like talking on the phone. She was able to figure out these systems where there were supports for this mom to be able to be paid to take care of her child because they were. She could not work, had to be cared for 24/7. And then launched them into moving into a different community with a relative. They were lined up with another church that was ready to serve them. These things, they count. And I know there are many more stories of things that you're doing. And so we just thank you so much for them. And thank you, Kirsten and Lucas, for sharing those. You gotta take your chairs. Now I'll identify and talk more about these packets, but just this way, we have seen so many of you in the last couple of years engage or even being part of some of these stories because you responded and you prayed through and you asked the Lord what you can do. So we wanted to create some really quick opportunities for you to get involved or at least to learn more if you have any questions. So that first sheet there is a calendar of things happening within the next 4 weeks during services, after services, where we'd love to share more with you. We have the list of just like a lot of different things that we won't cover in these next 2 weeks, but give you an idea of how you could rally around. Something I'm really excited about, and this is our challenge to you. If I were to give you homework for next week, like we're taking a risk sending these home. Like I said, like they're gonna be lost in your vans. We understand it. But it would be our desire that you would prayerfully consider some of these things in here by filling out this worksheet and just saying, what am I good at? What do I enjoy doing? And seeing if the Holy Spirit inspires something new in you or just reminds you, you're doing this. Will you keep doing that? So we would love for you to look through that. And then next week, we'll create space for this too. So whether you bring it back or you fill it out next week, there's just a response sheet. It allows us to know how you are willing to learn more and how we can then take you onto that next step. So we would love for you to prayerfully consider that. And we're even gonna give you time here after I pray to have some time just to pray over it and just invite the Spirit in that process for you this week. Before we sing, though, I'm going to briefly read the very last page of this book. This book is called God Loves Kids, a gospel-centered book about foster care. When we think about something very easy for anyone in our church, kids on up, we know that being informed on the reality of what's happening in the world and in our community, to be trauma-informed, to understand different perspectives. So this book helps if you have any connection to a child, if there's one in your household, if you're an educator, if you're an aunt or an uncle and you are connected to nieces or nephews, we would love for you to walk away from this book. In the back, there's some additional resources like how do we talk to our kids about this? And we also have resources out there that you'll see in the Mission Corners for adults as well. It's the easiest thing we can do. And this is, I'm just gonna read the last page. And this is how we're gonna end before you have that reflection time. It's just about hope that we have. So while we were still in the brokenness, we can have hope. We have hope because of the gospel. Hope because of God's really good plan. And hope because God loves kids so much. We want to be that church. You are that church. You're doing that already. And what will the Lord do in addition to this? So take some time to pray now, and then the band will sing here in a few minutes. So.
Thanks so much for tuning in to today's message. We would love to personally invite you to one of our Sunday services at 9 or 10:45 a.m. in the Performing Arts Center at Warsaw Community High School at 1 Tiger Lane in Warsaw, Indiana. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please make sure to subscribe and connect with us on social media by following Mission Point CC. You can also contribute to what God is doing through Mission Point. Simply visit missionpoint.net/give and give a gift today. Thanks again for joining us. Have a great week.